Arizona. That's Sanderson Ford country. Visit their website, sandersonford.com, and you can take a look at the opportunity to shop, to buy, finance, do the entire car purchasing procedure and event all online, and then have the car delivered to your house. Now, what could be easier than that? Now, I don't know that I'll ever buy a car that way. I like to touch them, feel them, sit in them. Even though I buy the same car over and over there, Ford 250, white. The other thing you can do while you're on the website at sandersonford.com is read the reviews of what other people are saying about Sanderson Ford. And I'm looking at that page right now. Raul, Robert, Kyle, Bud, Bill, Raymond, Alan, Art, Blake, Anna, Elizabeth, Charles, Tracy, Florin, Matthew, Barbara, Eva, Natalie. These are all, every one of them are five-star reviews that happened just in the month of July. They're not fishing through all of the reviews and raising up the five stars. This is everybody that shops at Sanderson Ford. 64 acres, a beautiful new and used Ford vehicles.
If car buying's on your to-do, it's got to be on Saturday. Sanderson Ford never open on Sunday. They are open now, and they have a great inventory influx that they've been bringing in. We heard John Pratt this morning talking about the EcoBoost, the Rangers, and the Maverick. I have yet to go spend any time looking, and I want to get some time to go test drive the new Ford Maverick pickup.
You got your eye on that one?
Not really. Yeah, okay. Just out of curiosity. Okay. I don't know that it has any kind of towing capacity for horse trailers, so it wouldn't be of use. Okay. But, you know, like we were talking pool service guys. I know a lot of pool guys that use the Ford Rangers because the beds are lower to the ground.
Yes.
And they don't need any kind of step or ladder to get their tools and their, you know, brushes and their chemicals in and out. So the Maverick could be in just it's even more affordable than the Ranger. So it could just be one more tool for our guys to use in the field.
It's also coming out as a hybrid, and they're claiming 40 miles to the gallon.
Yeah. That's impressive, too.
That is very impressive. And a pool company could save some money on fuel.
Sanderson Ford, 51st Avenue in Glendale. Right now, it's our 9 o'clock hour, our on-the-house hour, talking about something on your home, castle, or cabin, and sometimes in your backyard. Pool care is the main topic of today's program. And we try and spend the whole hour on it, but some topics, you know, a whole hour might be, you know, there's only so much you can say about pool care because it starts with, you know, each pool is different. You got to start with your chemical tests of your water. I remember doing that growing up. You take out, and do they even still do it this way? It's probably changed over since, you know, 25 years.
There's definitely some improvements, but they have little strips you put in. Those are pretty easy.
Or the pH kit, with the chemicals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you test your water and then you take that to the pool shop. But isn't there, I heard some conversation shortages on chlorine.
There are because there was a very large fire in Texas at one of the chlorine plants. So there is a national. I have not felt it, but I'm sure people have.
And one more disruption in the supply chain.
Of all things.
Keeping the pool clean. And, you know, one of the reasons that the edges of the swimming pool all sloped away from the pool is to keep surface water and rainwater to a minimum. You don't want all that contaminated water draining into your pool. And surface water management is another big topic that we had to deal with several times at the office this week. People sending us photos. And sometimes the patio homes and the condominiums, the higher density homes where the master plan development, the developer maybe underestimated how much surface water management would be necessary, or your when you're in a tight fitting like that, just your neighbor changing their backyard can have a big impact on what happens in your yard. So you have to be careful. We've got several pictures of a patio home in Scottsdale that's a solid concrete, sautéa tile, under about, looks like about 3 or 4 inches of water, with nowhere for the water to go.
And neighbor to neighbor to neighbor, all with the same issue. That's how it was designed.
Yeah.
And then I think it's against code just to sump pump water out, right? So,
you know, it is. You should not be digging a hole and putting a sump pump and plumbing it to the front of your yard and dumping it out on the street. But I will tell you that in my experience, I won't tell you which cities do this. I will just tell you, you should explore it in your own city. Some of the building departments recognize that many of the projects built in the 70s, 80s, and 90s didn't properly account for how much water there was going to be. And some of those subdivisions, the only option to having the house flood every single significant rain is to dig a sump pump in the backyard and pump it to the front yard. And there are a couple cities I've personally talked to that say in certain subdivisions, we turn a blind eye to that practice because we know they have got no choice.
I think sometimes too with neighborhoods, as time, you know, the neighborhood was established, people move out, people move in, and they have no idea. They haven't watched a rain. And so that actually happened to us when we were young. We bought a home, and it was just a long ranch-style home with a carport at the end. And we thought, wow, it'd be great to close this carport in and have a garage. So the first big rain event after we did that, and the garage was at the west end, and it kind of sloped down. The whole house sloped to the east.
That became Rosie's Dam.
And so the water came down the street and had been designed to flow through the driveway and out to the street, but instead it flowed into the garage and down into, Romy, I think you're too young to remember, but it flowed down each step of that little split home so that each staircase was like a waterfall. So, but you just don't know. I don't know how you get ready for that, Rosie. You know how you would know. It happened to us in our current home too.
Don't change anything. And what happened in our current home was actually neighbor driven, but we solved it. Don't assume anything. We recently, we're still involved in a remodel for a client in McCormick Ranch right now, where they were under this problem. I mean, every time it rained, the water went out the scuppers, the flat roof, the scuppers drained to the backyard, which was 3 feet wide and 40 feet long. No place for the water to go. No place. So we got our landscaping contractor out there, and we had downspouts and gutters installed, and we excavated a very large dry well to create a space for the water to go. Now, it will get overwhelmed in huge flows. So then you take the terrain and you shape it to where it will drain out to the street. If your dry well is overwhelmed, then you've done what you can to solve the problem.
How common are dry wells?
Not as common as they need to be.
What do they look like?
Well, they're invisible. All you see on the surface is a grill where the water enters. In this particular instance, it's right in the middle of a decomposed granite yard, and it's an 8-inch by 8-inch grill. In concrete patios, you saw cut an area out, you excavate it, and there's a lot that has to go into it. It's not just digging a hole and diverting the water there. You've got to allow for it to seep and penetrate into the soil. But surface drainage can be a problem you inherit, and you don't even know it's your problem, like this particular home in McCormick Ranch, until as a new homeowner you move in and live through a rain environment. So, of course, in this last rain, my production manager and my superintendent were both at that house watching exactly what went on during the downpour to make sure we had engineered something that would work for the homeowner, work for the city, and work for the neighbors.
And it's a lot of work. There's an example of a neighbor I had out in Whitman. Somebody had built four homes, pretty common. They bought 5 acres, subdivided into four lots, acre and a quarter. And this was a rectangle, five acres. So when you would start on one side, you know, the houses were all in an acre and a quarter, lined up down the street next to each other.
Okay.
And the properties would go back. Well, he got the permit, legally done, built the home. The fourth one farthest to the west was closest to the wash. And from all the excavation that was used when they were, you know, preparing the pads, what ultimately happened, a major rain came. And because of the way the new dirt was formed on the lot farthest to the west, we'll call that lot four, affected the wash that was on the west side of that. Well, it didn't go down the wash anymore. It diverted it east. And it flooded the pool in lot three.
Yeah.
And completely washed out the property line between the two. And the end result of that, after they went back to the flood control district to solve it, they redrew the floodplain and bulldozed lot four home. I came home.
Boom.
Demolishers just sitting on this pile of rubble that used to be a house.
Goodness.
Now, they paid to relocate that family, but they didn't want to move, you know, but they came through, rezoned it. Sorry, floodplain. We're pulling the building permit, demoing the house, and here's the equivalent dollar amount of what your home's worth. Go find somewhere else to live.
I think that could be a whole hour broadcast is just, you know, what is your recourse when someone does something that's approved like that? I have a family member who has a beautiful home out in the desert, and county allowed a big storage unit to be constructed there. And this last rain event, she almost had lost her home to flood. I mean, so we're trying to work through that. But I think that'd be something people should always be aware of when something's going in near you. Make sure everybody's done their due diligence.
Water, water, and water. It's what we're covering in every dimension and every aspect in the great state of Arizona this month at Rosie on the House. So y'all stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. Be right back. And we've got Dino would like to ask a question about drainage. We'll take him.